said, I'm very happy to welcome to our program this evening civil rights attorney James Otto, who's got a real horror story about employment in this country, in a particular lawsuit he is initiating to right the wrongs here. James Otto, thank you so much for making the time to come on the program this evening.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
I was interested to hear more, and that's why we invited you here this evening, to talk about a high-profile lawsuit against the Disney Corporation that you've launched over the company's employment practices. And it's a situation not isolated just to Disney, as I understand it. There really is a lot of information here that can apply to various other corporate employment policies that are really detrimental for folks in this nation. But as we begin here, James, just let our listeners know a bit about what Disney's doing that inspired this lawsuit.
You know, like you said, what Disney's doing is not unique. It's become an all too frequent, you know, story, what corporations are doing to human beings, American human beings, which is the corporation has made a decision not to hire American workers. And so what they do is they import foreign workers into the United States, force the U.S. worker to educate them, teach them how to do the job, and then they fire the American worker. And if the American worker objects, he's fired immediately and loses, you know, the couple months of pay that you know, it would take to train these folks and any type of severance package.
And in this case at Disney, we're talking about over 800-some-odd employees at Disney. Is it theme parks mostly or production facilities? Or where are these folks located for the most part?
Yes, an actual number was 850. They were going to fire an additional 150. But the ones that actually got fired were from Disney World in Orlando, Florida, and Disneyland in Anaheim, California. The additional 150 were IT workers in their ABC studios in Burbank and New York. But once the news hit the press, then Disney backed away and decided not to fire the last 150, although I have the actual layoff notices and some amazing quotes that happened. For example, Disney sent down a very high top executive to tell the folks in Burbank, ABC Studios Burbank, that they were going to have to train the replacements. And, of course, some of the people objected, and this executive, Disney executive, got really, really mad. He got red in the face, and he yelled at these people. He says, well, you better get used to it, because the only place you're going to find a job is in India. You know, so, you know, it's really a very malicious type of conduct coming from you know, business corporations these days, and to hear such talk from an executive at Disney is doubly disheartening. I mean, to think that Disneyland, you know, Disney Corporation, American icon, is so hostile towards American workers is really amazing, really disheartening.
Now, I can only imagine why Disney or other corporations are trying to do this. I guess you would call it insourcing as opposed to outsourcing work in the service industry here in the United States, and that is because they can get away with paying less. But I'm not completely sure of that. Maybe you could talk about what are the advantages that Disney and other corporations are looking for with importing foreign workers to the U.S.
Sure. And you know, I just want to real quickly emphasize the point you made. These are not the illegal aliens who are undocumented. These are documented foreigners who go to the U.S. consuls or embassies, you know, in a foreign country, and get a work visa to come to the United States. That means they're coming to take a job here in the United States. And the reason U.S. corporations are importing these folks is because they don't have to pay, you know, the regular employment taxes that employers usually have to pay. They could pay these individuals probably one-third or less of what they pay an American, and then they don't have any liability for them because they're actually brought over by a staffing, what they call a staffing company. I call them body shops because these corporations don't do anything but import the bodies and, you know, kind of give a level of deniability to the U.S. corporation. For example, in Disney, Disney's response to, you know, firing 850 American workers was that they didn't hire anybody. They only have 10 H-1B or foreigners on their payroll, which is, of course, very deceptive because what happens is the staffing company leases these human beings, these human bodies, to Disney, and then Disney puts them to work, supervises them, and pays the staffing company whatever the contract amount is, and these folks get less than that. You know, the foreign worker gets even less than what you know, he should be getting.
Right.
But that's what Disney's doing is you know, they're playing a deceptive game on the public. And when I say Disney, I also mean, you know, people like Bank of America and Southern California Edison, Molina Healthcare, which is a $5 billion network, health network, and, you know, the list goes on and on and on, but that's what's happening in the U.S. And for years it's gone unnoticed because, you know, you talk to the corporations and they say, well, I only hire one or two or maybe 10 or maybe 100 or 200, you know, H-1Bs each year. That's all we're doing.
Right.
But in reality, again, the U.S. corporation go to these body shops and tell them we need 10,000 workers. For example, Carly Fiorina, who's running, you know, for the presidency on the Republican ticket, when she was at HP, Hewlett Packard, you know, they claimed they only hired 1,500 H-1Bs. It imported only 1,500 workers, foreign workers, and yet she fired 16,000 in about five years. 16,000 American workers were replaced with imported foreigners. How do we know that? Because the affected American workers have come out and said, I had to train my replacements. When, you know, that's what she said. What Carly told me to do is train my replacements who were foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
And so Hewlett Packard says, we didn't hire 16,000 foreigners, but they leased them. They leased these human bodies.
From the employment agency, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's how they get away with firing the Americans. And in fact, in September of this year, there was a news article, which I'm in the process of verifying, but I mean, it was a pretty reliable news source, you know, that that Hewlett Packard's going to lay off another, I believe the number was like 30,000 U.S. workers. And the headline said, they're going, you know, Hewlett Packard plans on replacing them with foreign workers. So, so it's really going on a lot, and that's a part of the game that the industry has set up to fool Congress.
Right.
Of course, you know, it doesn't take much to fool Congress. Whatever.
No. Well, we're speaking with civil rights attorney James Otto, and we're talking about a particular case that James has launched a lawsuit around, and that is Walt Disney Corporation firing over 850 American employees and replacing them with less expensive labor from overseas, people who have been brought over legally through the H-1B guest worker program. And that was my next question, James. Explain to our audience how the H-1B guest worker program operates and is obviously in this case and in many other cases you could tell us about is being exploited, because I don't believe that that program was conceived with the idea of displacing American workers for cheaper overseas labor. But maybe you could talk about how H-1B is being exploited here in this case with Disney and what Congress could do to fix it.
Well, let me start off with a very boring topic about money. And just one quick sentence. The U.S. State Department issues visas to foreigners who want to come into the United States. And the State Department reports on how many visas were issued, and they break them down by category. And under the category of worker visas, for 2014, the U.S. State Department tells us they issued over 9.9 million worker visas for that year alone. And when you check with the Department of Homeland Security, who's in charge of the ports of entry, so counts the number of people coming in and then reports on how many came in and breaks it down as to what type of visas, we see that all 9.9 million plus worker visas were used in 2014. So we know that over 9.9 million foreign workers came in and replaced American workers. Now, could you do me a favor?
Yes, sir.
Tell me what your question was.
No, well, tell us what needs to be reformed. I don't think myself or any of the listeners feel that, you know, there shouldn't be immigration, there shouldn't be workers coming into this country. But obviously, this example here with Disney and other things going on in the country tell the tale of exploitation of this H-1B program, so that
right.
American workers are being deliberately displaced and this law being exploited. So for the interest of not the U.S. worker or the foreign worker, but to really maximize corporate profits. And in the meantime, a lot of people are getting hurt. So maybe you could explain
right.
what needs to be fixed with H-1B.
Well, the original intent of Congress in creating the H-1B category was to fill a perceived need or shortage of highly skilled, and those two words are extremely important, highly skilled foreign workers. You know, we could talk about how Jack Abramoff was convicted for bribing Congress, but you know, that would take much too long, and you know, to do tonight. But when Congress passed this, the original intent was to supply businesses with highly skilled workers and specialized occupations. That has just gone out the window. Now we see that it's routine. And like I said, what happened at Disney, they imported unskilled workers who needed to be educated by the highly skilled Americans. So, in fact, the intent of Congress has been flipped on its head. So highly skilled Americans are being fired after they train and educate unskilled foreign workers. And, you know, it's to nobody's advantage except for corporations, because, you know, corporations are making literally trillions of dollars doing this. I saw a study that was dated 2009 that reported businesses earned an extra $4 trillion between 2005 and 2008 by importing foreign workers. I used the year 2007, and I counted from the State Department, you know, report on how many worker visas were being issued from 2007 to 2014. And I started at 2007 because that was basically, you know, when the last great recession was upon us, when Wall Street, you know, crashed our economy and we didn't recover. I don't think we've recovered yet, but from 2007 to 2010 is the official dates, are the official years of the recession. But in any event, from 2007 to 2014, over 60 million worker visas have been issued. And again, double-checking that with Department of Homeland Security, all 60 million, or almost 60 million, have been used to import workers, which is interesting because these worker visas, especially the H-1B, are good for, you know, they're technically good for 3 years, but then you get an almost automatic extension of another 3 years. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, you obtain a green card so you could stay permanently in the United States.
Right.
Which is another contradiction, because the intent of Congress was to bring in not only highly skilled workers, not trainees, but highly skilled workers, and who would stay only temporarily. But now virtually every single imported foreign worker stays permanently. And they could do that even if you know, their H-1B visa expires. But typically what happens is they play the same game that at the risk of going too far afield, the 9/11 terrorists played the visa game, which is now being copied and duplicated by the foreign workers, these guest workers, which is called change of status. So they come in on, let's say, an F-1 student visa, which the 9/11 terrorists did, and then they change their status to, let's say, a B-1, which is basically a business visitor. And then from there, they go to H-1B. And then now they're a highly skilled worker. And of course, you know, how the 9/11 terrorists qualified to be an H-1B, I have no idea, but never mind that. So then you become an H-1B, you do your 3-year stint, you get an automatic extension for 6 years, and then you get your green card and you're here permanently. So it's all about, playing the visa game of change of status.
James, we've got to move off here in about a minute or two. We have a fun drive going on, so I've got to get back to that. But I want to ask you one last question, if I could, and that has to do with the precedent-setting possibility here with your lawsuit. Maybe talk to us about how you hope your current lawsuit against Disney on these firings of people who are foreign laborers being brought in to displace the U.S. workers and having to train their foreign replacements to do their jobs. What is the precedent that you hope can be set here?
Well, what I like to mention is not, since Disney's suit is in its infancy, there's another lawsuit called Beasley versus Molina Healthcare, Inc. It's in California Superior Court, and it will come to trial next year. Molina is a $5 billion HMO, and a co-defendant is Cognizant Technologies, which is one of those body shops, a $5 billion body shop. And what we're going to prove there is exactly what I've told your audience tonight. And the precedent that will be set is that there will be public documents on exactly how Molina and Cognizant played the visa schemes and how they brought in uneducated, underskilled, imported workers to replace highly skilled. And in some cases, a PhD was replaced. In one case, a PhD was replaced. Several individuals with master's degrees were replaced with unskilled, uneducated foreign workers. And with that, then the techniques and strategy used against Molina can be duplicated. I'll make sure every other attorney in the United States knows about exactly what went on and how it was done in Molina, and then it can be duplicated across the country. And hopefully that makes it just too darn expensive for these body shops to keep doing business the way they're doing it. And with a little bit of luck, maybe we slow them down, because I certainly know Congress is not going to take notice of this.
Yeah, well, hopefully in the long run they will fix this, because this just doesn't seem right. I think the corporate folks who have their lobbyists on Capitol Hill like this system very much, where they can, I think there was a time when people thought the service industry here in the United States would be safe from outsourcing, but now they're starting the insourcing. And as you said, turn the whole H-1B guest worker program on its head, but it needs to be fixed. And hopefully, as you said, your lawsuit here can bring out the facts here and really, kind of bring to the fore the urgency to make changes in the program. James, it's been great talking with you. Thanks for sharing with our audience this important legal matter here, this lawsuit. And where can they get more information? Is there a website they can go to keep up to date with this lawsuit? And the two you've talked about.
Yeah, my website contains a lot of information on the history and the pretext and Congress and various things like that, as well as the various lawsuits of note. And you could find that at the law offices, that's with an S, law offices of jamesaauto.com. My first website got hacked because somebody didn't like, you know, the information that I was publicizing. So I created it again, but this time the offices is plural. So law offices of jamesaauto.com.
Got it. Well, thank you so much for sharing this with our audience tonight, and best of luck with the lawsuit. I would certainly like to stay in touch and have you back on the air when we got some new developments to report.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Take care, James. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was James A. Otto, civil rights attorney, talking about this lawsuit initiated against Walt Disney Corporation for the firing of 850 workers, replacing them with folks under, I think, the exploitative H-1B program with a simple goal of maximizing corporate profits.